Let's take our Bibles. We have your Bible this morning. Our 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the Word of God. I want to look at one verse that I want to leave with you to be just an extra shot in the arm, an extra encouragement. 1 Corinthians 15. And as you're turning there, let me just say I've thoroughly enjoyed this week ministering to you guys and getting to know you just a little bit. And thank you for your sweet spirit. We've had a lot of tender hearts here this week. And that is such a blessing. I'm very encouraged. I was encouraged by the campfire service last night and hearing what God's doing in your guys' life. And so, again, it's just been very, very good. We survived. You know, some of us may feel this morning like barely, but, you know, we survived. And I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Thank you, parents, grandparents, for sending your children to camp. And it really is not in vain. It makes such a difference. And so I appreciate that very, very much. I apologize if I don't get a chance to say goodbye to you. Please come see me. I'm going to be here for brunch. But then me and Dom are hitting the road pretty soon after that. That's 10 hours to drive today. And so if you want to say goodbye, make sure you come and see me. But if I don't get a chance to see you, just know that, again, I really, really appreciate you young people. And I'm glad for the time the Lord has given to us. And if we meet here somewhere else on this earth or meet in the air, look forward to seeing you once again and just what God is doing, has done in your life. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, the very last verse, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58. Some of you guys probably have this verse memorized, all right? But let's look at it just to be challenged once more before we leave here later in just a couple hours. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to speak just for a few minutes. I'm not going to be long this morning, all right? Just for a few minutes, I want to speak on this subject. I am resolved. I am resolved. Let's pause. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the wonderful week that you've given to us and the work that you have done in hearts and lives. And thank you, Lord, that there has been many, many tender hearts, Lord, among us this week. And God, I ask that you keep our hearts tender. Keep my heart tender. Keep the staff, the counselors, all of these campers, keep our hearts tender, always sensitive to what you want to say to us. And Lord, not just that, but being obedient to whatever it is that you say to us. Thank you for the decisions that have been made this week. May you help these young people to stay true to those, to be resolved to follow through by your grace. And so, Lord, fill me, use me once again, hiding behind the cross. May you be exalted this morning. Thank you for what you're going to do in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I mentioned earlier this week that we live in a day where it seems like a lot in the Christian community struggle with this idea of commitment and being truly committed, being truly sold out and all in, as we talked about the other night. And young person, as you leave camp later today here in just a couple hours or an hour and a half or whatever it is that you're going to pack up and leave, okay? As you leave, you need to have this commitment, this resolve in your heart. All right, the devil is going to do all he can to snatch it away. The world and society is going to do all it can to distract you. Your own flesh is going to do all that it can to discourage you and to think, you know what, you're probably not going to be able to keep your commitments. You're probably going to mess up later today or tomorrow or next week, right? But listen, despite all of that, despite the world, the flesh, and the devil and their attacks against us, we need, by the grace of God, to leave this place saying, I am resolved. Resolve for what? Well, let me give you a few things, all right? What do we resolve? What do we resolve? Well, number one, what does our text say? It says that we resolve to be steadfast. To be steadfast. The word steadfast means to be firm, to be settled on a matter. To be firm or to be settled on a matter. In other words, we're not second-guessing. We're not wondering, well, is this really true? Or, you know, does God's word really say this? No, that's not our mindset. We're not being double-minded. Remember, the book of James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so to be steadfast is to be firm, to be settled on a matter. If I can use the word, it means having convictions. Having convictions. And maybe some of you this week learned some convictions, or you were reminded about some convictions that you should have. Convictions that number one, that the Bible is God's word. It is absolute truth for our day and age, and we have to base our lives upon it. Maybe again the conviction that Jesus is the only Savior. There is no other way to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, right? Or maybe the conviction that, again, God wants us to live a holy life separated from the world. Whatever it is, all right, you need to leave this place being steadfast, being firm, being settled in your mind, having these convictions, all right? So, be firm. If you want to write it down this way, be firm in what you believe. Be firm in what you believe, and again, base it upon the Word of God. And so not only do we resolve to be steadfast, but notice the next phrase, it says that we resolve to be unmovable. Unmovable. So this is a very similar idea. Really, the one is based off the other. It's really a domino effect, okay? But the word unmovable, no surprise, means not able to be moved or unshaken. Not able to be moved or to be unshaken. And so not only do we have our minds made up and we have some convictions, but in those convictions we are fixed in our resolve. In other words, we leave this place this morning thinking, we're not going to go back on our commitment to God. We are firm in what we believe. We've seen it. We've been reminded about it in God's word this week. Again, about whatever it is that God's spoken to you about. And so we're firm in our belief, but also we are fixed in our result. We're not going back. Again, as I just mentioned, let me remind you that sin will seek to shake us. Sin will seek to move us. I think I said this sometime yesterday. Be prepared. I don't know if it's going to be later today. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or Monday. All right, but whenever we come off that mountaintop experience, whenever we come off of that spiritual high, okay, where we can be very vulnerable. Very vulnerable to temptation, okay? And so be prepared for that. And by the way, can I say this? If you fail later today, if you fail tomorrow, if you fail on Monday or Tuesday, whatever, and you know what? I don't know what it's going to be, but guess what? I'm not trying to discourage you, but more than likely, you're going to mess up at some point, okay? When that happens, what do? You don't let it shake you. That's what it means to be unmovable. Sin is not going to shake you. Listen, sin will discourage us. Sin will defeat us sometimes. We will give in. We'll give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, okay? That is going to happen. We're not going to be perfect in this world. But to be unmovable means this is not going to shake me. What do? We confess it, we put it under the blood, and we get up and we keep going. That's what you do. If it's later today, if it's tomorrow, whenever it is, right? You say, I'm not going to be shaken. Sin is a battle, right? It's going to constantly, temptation is going to constantly be coming at me, but I'm not going to be shaken. I'm going to confess it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mentioned the other night, Psalm 86:5, which is one of my favorite verses. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon thee. So don't let sin, and even your giving in, if you say, well, I'm going to fail later, don't let that shake you. Be unmovable. Put it under the blood and keep getting up. Keep going. Proverbs chapter 24 says, a just man falls 7 times, but what? Who knows it? But rises up again. All right? Don't be defeated, right? You're only defeated if you keep staying down. Don't stay down. Get back up. Get back up. Put it under the blood and keep moving forward. So sin will seek to shake us, but also storms will seek to shake us. And I'm not talking about the physical storms that rolled through this morning. I'm talking about the trials of life. Again, young person, I don't know what type of a family situation you're going back to. Many of you come from good homes, solid homes. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe some of you are going back into a situation where you know it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. Maybe something's going on with mom or dad, or something's going on with a sibling, or there's something that's tough in your life right now, okay? And so as you go home, you need to have some resolve in your heart that storms, that trials, that unpleasant circumstance are not going to move you from your commitment in following God. We could go through the Bible. We don't have time this morning. We could go through the Bible, and we could look at people who were in very difficult circumstances, and yet they had resolve. You know, it would have been very easy for Joseph to say, you know what, this is too tough, I'm just going to quit. I've been lied about, I've been thrown in prison, I've been sold, my brothers, they were jealous, my brothers sold me into slavery, right? Joseph had a lot of opportunities to quit and to say, it's not worth it. But he had some resolve that he was going to be faithful to God, and he stuck it out, and God, as a result of that, blessed his life, right? Used him in such a great way. Daniel was in a pagan land. It was not a conducive society a situation for Daniel to stay faithful to God. He was in a pagan land, right? All types of idolatry and immorality around him. And yet Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They purposed in their heart they weren't going to defile themselves. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faithful in the fiery furnace. Daniel, faithful in Daniel chapter 6, being thrown in the lion's den. I'm simply saying that we see the testimony of Scripture, and there's been many other testimonies that people, we can't use the excuse of, well, something's hard is going on in my life, or my family doesn't support me, or my school, my friends at school, I had nobody at school. Listen, you can stand for God. You can resolve to be unshaken, to be unmovable, despite the storms of life. And also, not only sin, not only storms, but I've already said society. Society will seek to shake us. We mentioned the other night, in, what was it, John 15, that Jesus said, don't be shocked. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Don't be shocked. Don't be thrown off guard by this, all right? Society is not going to applaud your wanting to go to church and wanting to be in your Bible and wanting to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get laughed at. You're going to get persecuted. There's going to be some verbal persecution. Maybe you're going to go somewhere in the world that you'll face physical persecution. I don't know. But don't let society shake you. That's what it means to be unmovable. That we're not going to be shaken. That we're not going to be easily thrown back and forth because of what external circumstances are doing. And so we are resolved to be steadfast. We resolve to be unmovable. And then thirdly, what's our text say? We resolve to be always abounding in God's work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, we leave this place this morning thinking that we're going to live every day for the glory of God and in the service of other people. We're going to live every single day for God's glory. We're going to wake up, and as we've talked about this week, say, not my will, but thy will be done. And we're going to live it for God's glory, and we're going to seek to serve other people. You should wake up in the morning, and you should ask God, God, who can I help today? Who needs an encouraging, a lot of you guys got phones, right? Who needs an encouraging text message? Not just a joke or what. And again, like we've talked about, I'm not against good, clean humor and things like that. But start thinking spiritually, like, who can I encourage today? Who's going through a rough time? Who needs a Bible verse? Or just, hey, how can I pray for you today, right? Get up in the morning and think, who can I help today? Make your life about serving other people. That's what it means to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's God's work, by the way. God's work is people. All right? People. Sometimes I've heard preachers say, in a joking way, the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. All right? But that's the ministry. That is the ministry. That's God's work. God is at work in the redeeming of this chosen race, right? This new race, all of those who are in Christ. And he's working to bring everyone. He wants to bring everyone. He's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His work is people. And our work should be people. We're cooperating with God. We're seeking to witness to people. We're praying for people. We're trying to help people. We're trying to show them the love of Christ, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we resolve. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, quickly, and I'm going to be done in like 7 minutes, all right? Again, I told you I'm not going to be long, all right? So, that's what we resolve. Secondly, why can we resolve? Like, what gives us strength? What gives us motivation, all right? What we resolve is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in God's Word. Why can we resolve? Number one, because Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice the first part of our verse, therefore. So whenever, young person, you see a therefore in the Bible, you should always look back. All right? Because it's one of those, I'm not an English major. It's one of those adjoining or conjunctive type words. I don't know if that's the right word, okay? It's giving the cause, right? Therefore. So look back. And when you look back, what's 1 Corinthians 15 talking about? It's talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the fact that if Christ was not raised from the dead, that our faith would be in vain, that we'd be still in our sins. But Paul says, again, look at, if your Bible is open there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number, let's start at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh, but look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so Paul goes on to talk about this glorious resurrection, that our faith is not in vain, because Jesus is risen from the dead. And young person, you can resolve this morning. You can say, you know what? I want to be steadfast. I want to be immovable. I want to be abounding in God's word. You can resolve because Jesus is alive. And not only is he alive, but he is with you today by his Spirit. He lives inside of you. We sang it this week, right? It's no longer I who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. And listen, I'm not standing up here this morning saying, all right, guys, you guys know what to do now. So you just go home and you roll up your sleeves and you just try really, really hard. And, you know, it's a difficult life to live, the Christian life. And again, we got the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so, I hope you do okay. I'm not telling you that. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, go home. You can be resolved because Jesus is alive and he's with you. And that makes all the difference, young person. It makes all the difference when you live in that reality, when you practice the presence of God, when you know that you're not serving a dead Savior, that we serve a living Savior. He's in the world today, right? As the songwriter said. And so remember, Jesus is alive. Focus upon him. That's why we get up and we talk to him in the morning. We say, God, I need you today. Lord, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need you to help me to honor and to respect my parents, to obey my parents. I need you to help me to be kind to my siblings. I need you to help me to be this witness. Some of you talked about wanting to go home and trying to be a better witness to friends and to family, right? And so we talk to God because he's alive. He's with us. That's why we can resolve this morning. But also, right along with that, why can we resolve? Not only because Jesus is alive, but secondly, because we have his victory. Look at the very verse right before verse 58. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he alive, but because he's alive and because we're in him and he's in us, that means that we possess his victory. Now, we don't always draw upon that. Right? You say, well, why do we sin then? Because we're not always yielding to that. We're not always drawing upon that victory because we still have the flesh that's constantly seeking to usurp its authority, right? And but regardless of that, understand that we have it. We possess it. In fact, Romans 8:37, the Bible says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. In Christ, as you're yielding to him, as you're living by faith, we talked about faith this week, dependence upon God, right? Not dependence upon ourselves, but dependence upon God. In Christ, we always triumph. Again, if we fail, we recognize that we weren't drawing upon Christ. It wasn't Christ. Christ never loses, right? Christ is never defeated. And so we fail because we've given in once again to our flesh. But we don't have to. That's the glorious thing. We have his victory within us. Victory to be what he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do. That's why we can resolve this morning, because he's alive and because we possess his victory. But also, let me leave you with this. Why can we resolve? Because number three, serving God is not in vain. What does our text say? It says at the end, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Young person, hear me. I'm almost done. Hear me. It's not in vain. A life lived for God is never in vain. I've never, and those that are, I'm sure Mr. Fine can say the same thing, right? And I've heard preachers say this, right? We've never heard someone come to the end of their life, someone who is truly, truly sold out to God, and say, I regret it all. I shouldn't. I've never heard that. I don't think he's ever heard that. I don't think any creature's ever heard that, right? If you're truly, truly sold out to God. Now, sometimes we may think it's in vain. Like I know as a preacher, sometimes you go somewhere and you preach a week at camp or you preach a revival meeting and you think, did anything happen this week? But, you know, I know I got this. I've heard about this issue and this issue. Did anything happen? But listen, young person, service to God is never in vain. God is the one who's keeping the book, so to speak. God sees what's going on. God, it says in the book of Hebrews that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Like God sees your heart. God sees your service. He knows what's going on. He's keeping the spiritual accounts, right? The record books. And it's never in vain. anything done. But what's it say again? It says, in the Lord. Your service is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. In the Lord. So if it's in your flesh, well, then it's in vain. If it's for your glory, some of you talked about to be, the pride of life this week. And you crave, you want to be seen of men. Well, that's for your glory. And anything, I can get up here this morning and preach with a motivation of self-glory. People seeing me. Guess what? That's not in the Lord. And so in that sense, that would be in vain. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Right? You can get up and sing in the choir at your church. You can play an instrument at your church. You can go, if your church has door-to-door visitation, you can go out and you can do a lot of things, but if it's not in the Lord for God's glory and in dependence upon Him, well, then it is in vain. It's wood, hay, and stubble. But be encouraged by this. Anything, when you have that right motivation of loving God with all your heart and just wanting for God to be magnified, wanting for God to be seen, and you're depending upon God. God, I can't, but you can. That is service. That is labor that is in the Lord, and it's always worth it. It's always worth it. Whether you see results, whether your friend comes to church or not, whether you see your lost loved one saved or not, right? If you do your part, if you serve God, if you again, are steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in that labor, it's never in vain. I heard someone say last night, Matthew 6, right? You're laying up treasure in heaven. That's what you're doing. And when you lay up treasure in heaven, what's the Bible say? Moth and rust, it doesn't corrupt that. I don't know if any of your parents have had the experience of the unpleasant experience of getting broken into. Anybody's family ever got broken into, whether a house or a car or something like that? Maybe a couple would be okay. I can't imagine that. That would be, I've never had that experience, praise the Lord. I hope I never do. I can't imagine that feeling of like being violated and someone was in my car, someone was in my house, and they're taking my stuff. And that's what the Bible says, this world, right? Thieves break through and steal. Our treasures on this earth, they don't last. They're not eternal. But when you lay up treasure in heaven, no thief can break in and steal. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get corrupted, right? It's eternal that whenever we get to heaven one day, we can take that treasure and we can give it right back to Jesus. We can lay it right back at His feet. And so lay up treasure in heaven. Service to God is never in vain. All right? So, in closing, in review here, I am resolved. What do we resolve? Resolve this morning to be steadfast. You're firm in what you believe. Have conviction, young person. Resolve to be unmovable, unshaken. Unshaken by sin, by storms, by society. Don't let anything move you. You're going to, listen, it's a battle. It's going to be a battle, okay? You're going to feel the pressure of temptation. You're going to feel the pressure of just unpleasant circumstances in the world. It's a battle. Don't let it move you from saying, I'm resolved, I'm going to be faithful to God. And we're going to be resolved and always abounding in God's Word. And why can we do it? Oh, don't, listen, if you just get those first three parts, if you get those first three parts, you're going to be like, okay, let's go do this. But if you miss the last three, you're going to fall flat on your face. You have to know, why can we do this? Because Jesus is alive. Because we have His victory. And because service in vain, service for the Lord is never, ever in vain. Young person, leave this place this morning. Be resolved. Say, I am resolved. I'm resolved. No matter what anybody else is doing, I'm resolved. I'm going to keep following the Lord.